are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's open our Bibles this evening to Mark chapter 7. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and the certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eating bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. When the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so we ask ourselves, what are those commandments? And listen to what he says in the next verse. For laying aside, now you've got to willfully lay aside the word. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men, as of the washing of pots and cups and many such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God. So laying it aside is actually rejecting it. Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own traditions. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso reviles, that means to speak abusively to father or mother, let him die the death. Oh my, well, let's just bow in prayer on that. Your gracious Father, we, we come humbly and reverently before you, Lord. And knowing, Father, that those words are true. And Moses said, he that reviles, he that speaks against his mother or father, he that does not honor, does not respect his mother and father, let him die the death. And those are strong words, Father, yet your son Jesus was quoting them as well. And so, Father, we know that there's two ways to die. There's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. And Lord, we understand in this day we don't have the law to stone the people, but Lord, we do have the word of God, which causes separation, causes spiritual dying, as well as it causes life. Because the same water that saved Noah is the same water that destroyed the world and the population thereof. So, Father, we just humbly, reverently ask you to help us, Lord, to wake up to the hour which we live. Help us to wake up to thy word and to look at every jot, every tittle of it. Look to everything that thou would say. And not only that, Father, but to have the full word of God, not just the portion that fits our daily life, but, Lord, may we have the full word of God to correct our daily life. For we ask it humbly, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've been listening to Jesus quoting Moses, and he tells those Christ-rejecting Pharisees that they throw out the word of God in favor of their own traditions. And then Jesus quotes Moses as saying, if a child even speaks disrespectfully to his parents, he is to die the death. Take that child out and stone him to death. That's what they did. Now, if the world kept that law, given to them by a vindicated prophet of God, there wouldn't be enough children today to make it to adulthood to keep the earth population. Do young people understand how serious a thing it is to speak disrespectful to their parents? Now, it matters not what you think of them, whether you think that they're right or they're wrong. What matters is that you are commanded by God to be respectful of your parents at all times. And Jesus never does tell us there's an age time when you are no longer a child of your parent. You're a child of your parent till the day you die, or the day they're gone. Therefore, this is a lifelong commandment from God, and it is one of the Ten Commandments as well. Now, remember Jesus said, all 10 of the commandments are fulfilled in one thing, and that is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and you love one another. And
also a vindicated prophet in this day said, you won't get in there without perfect love. So let's never forget that. Now in Exodus 20, verse 12, we read, honor thy father and thy mother, for thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now notice there's a promise associated with this commandment of God, and that is long life. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, we read, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath honored or hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. That's one promise. And that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now notice, not only is there a promise of long life, but also a life uncomplicated by failure and distress. And that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Hebrew word well with thee, it literally means happy and successful. The Weiss translation word for this is, for Moses said, be paying due respect and reverence to your father and your mother, and the one who is constantly reviling father or mother, let him come to an end by death. That's Jesus quoting Moses. In other words, he's talking about this 21st century attitude that says, hey, I didn't have to be born. You brought me into this world. So whatever you get out of me, consider it a gift. And Jesus says of that one, he says, and you suffer him, you encourage him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. In other words, like some churches, you go to some church and they get a certain doctrine, and then they have family members in another church, and so the church, the leader of that church says, well, they don't believe our doctrine, you can't fellowship with your family. They're actually teaching children to be disrespectful and therefore choosing a short life. You suffer him, you encourage him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things you do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into the man can defile him. But the thing which comes out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when he's entering into the house from the people, his disciples ask him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart? Jesus was there dealing with the heart. But it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, out of his heart, that's what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Now this evening I would like to examine this thought on traditions of man making the word of God of no effect. Because many a person that calls himself a Christian today is no more Christian than the Mohammedan is saved. And I don't know of any Mohammedans that are saved. Because there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. The word Christian means Christ-like, because you have Christ's life. But most people have filled their lives with traditions and have left off the true meaning of the Scriptures. In the book of Colossians 2 and verse 8, we read, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And I would say this, look, if I use the word 99%, just bear with me, it might be 98%. Might be 98.5%. Might be 97%. I don't know. But most churches today are filled with tradition. Most preachers today are philosophers. They're not truly called from God. Brother Bell told me that when someone asked Brother Bell, how many true fivefold do you think there are out there? He said, five. Now, literally, was it literally five? Or there's five offices, so there's fivefold. Was he joking? I don't know. But when you look around, it appears to be that there's not a whole lot out there. There are nothing but philosophies. Marketeers, making the churches big so they have big profits, big money, lots of spending. And they're not too worried about getting the people to a body change. So, Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you, make you rotten through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, all you're okay is come to church. Come to church, shake the preacher's hand, throw your money in the tithe, you know, spend some time coming over to the preacher's house and doing his chores for him instead of him doing his own chores. Yeah. People eat that up. And Paul says, I'm warning you, that's philosophy and vain deceit. A man that claims to preach the gospel without a true baptism of the Holy Ghost and without a true calling from God to do so is nothing more than just a philosopher. And some of them are pretty rotten philosophers. Now, I'd like to read the scripture from a couple more translations. From the Voice translation, we read, make sure no predator... You know anybody? Anybody like that? Make sure no predator makes his prey through some misleading philosophy and empty deception based on traditions fabricated by mere mortals. Like one church in Congo, the pastor decided that his church sanctuary was a holy place, so the people couldn't wear their shoes into the church, because when Moses stood on that ground that was sacred, God said, the ground wasn't sacred. He was in the presence of a sacred God. But God said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground on which thou art standing is holy. So Moses took off his shoes. So the people there, about 300 people in the church, they all took off their shoes. They put them on the front stoop of the church. When they came out after service, they were all gone. Somebody took them and probably had a good market for used shoes. Yeah. That's where traditions will get you. It's nothing but death. From the Message translation, Colossians 2 and 8, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Him. So you can see and clearly hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too, and His powers extend over everything. Traditions. My oldest brother never raised his children Christian, and so one of their traditions, being having a Buddhist mother, was when they drove past a cemetery, they would hold their breath in case a spirit might enter into them. So when we drove them past the cemetery, I drove very, very, very slow. Alright. Traditions. How many traditions? You know, growing up Catholic, how many traditions people have? You know, certain traditions. When I was in South America, a baby was laying on the floor. You know, you couldn't step over the baby to get where you're going. If he was in the middle of the floor, you had to pick him up or move him or something, but you couldn't walk over. There was something, a spiritual tradition they had concerning that. I don't understand what those are about. But all I'll say is, people have so many traditions. You know, as a young boy growing up, we'd walk in, we were raised Catholic, we'd walk in, and we looked like the Von Trapp family. One at a time, we'd genuflect the wind, and we're the seven of us, plus my parents, nine of us. We'd take up the whole pew and we'd genuflect the wind. And then, you know, in the Catholic Church, you know, you'd stand up, sit down, kneel down, stand up, sit down. And it was all kind of just to make you a bunch of puppets, you know, going about whatever. And it was all during the entire service. Traditions of men doesn't make you closer to God. Doesn't make you further from God. It's just control. And most traditions are to control. Notice 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. tradition, get up and preach an astounding sermon so that everybody thinks, hey, we got a great preacher, man. He really knows the alphabet. John the Baptist didn't have an education. William Branham hardly had an education. Education means nothing to God. Nothing. It's traditions of man.
Again, we see the same thing brought up by Jesus in Matthew 15.
Then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? They're complaining because they're not doing the traditions of the elders. He said, yeah, but your traditions of the elders are transgressing the laws of God. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall save his father or his mother, it is a gift. Hey, I'm your gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. God commanded you, children, to obey your parents and to reverence them. Now, notice the key here is Jesus' reply to the Pharisees. He says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Why do you allow your commandments to take preeminence over God's word? That is a real question. Because anything that gets between you and God is death in the pot. So many people today, they think because we go to church and we pay our tithes, and we are a good member in good standing in the message. And that makes us believers in the message of this hour. Because we go to church. Because we pay our tithes. Because we support the work. We help in missions. We do all this other stuff. But your church attendance doesn't make you a message believer. No more than your listening to tapes makes you a hearer of the word. There are many, many hundreds of Catholic people that go to church every Wednesday night to play bingo. You think God's pleased if they're going to church on Wednesday night? I don't think so. But a life filled with Christ, one that is obedient to the Word of God, is what makes you a true believer. A life that is worthy of the gospel is what makes you a true believer in the message of the hour. A Holy Ghost filled, obedient life, nothing more, nothing less. You say, well, I've got the doctrine, hallelujah, so what? The devil has a doctrine. The devil believes God is one. The devil knew that, he believed that there would be a Son of God. He just didn't happen to believe Jesus was the one. If thou be the Son of God. So, if thou be the Son of God means he understood there should be a Son of God. He knew the doctrine of Father and Son. But he couldn't see it manifested in the flesh. Couldn't catch it. Because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now, as we continue in our study of the rising of the sun, we hear Brother Branham say in paragraph 14, as people today are trying to say we should wash feet once a year on Thursday or on Friday, we should take the communion and all different doctrines, and they argue about whether it should be done this day or that day or whether it should be a Sabbath day or the first day of the week. All these things are just merely tradition. You know what? Doctrine is tradition. Yeah. This church has a tradition of a certain doctrine. This church has a certain doctrine. That's their tradition. The kids are raised up and they know the doctrine, but they don't got the Holy Ghost. They've never had an experience with God. They don't even know if God is real or not. But hey, they got the doctrine. Hallelujah, they got the doctrine. And they're going to hell with doctrine, with the right doctrine. And people think, well, because I got the right doctrine, I got the Holy Ghost. No, 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 no. If you get the Holy Ghost, you'll get the right doctrine. You might have it up here, but if you don't have it in here and it's not living in here, you don't got it. I'm sorry, you don't have it. He says they argue about every little thing because it's their tradition to do so. The Baptists have a certain tradition. Pentecostals have a different tradition. The Church of Christ has their own tradition. They've all got their traditions. And that doesn't mean back to God. It's a life worthy of the gospel. He said, all these things are just merely tradition. What good would any of it do you? Whether you had Lent or not Lent. If there's no life in you. It's only a memorial, which there's nothing against it. But they have certainly carried out their traditions, but they've left off the main thing. That's the life of Christ in you. Satan doesn't care how religious you are or how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. No matter how religious, how good, how many churches you belong to or will belong to, it doesn't matter one thing unless you have been born again. That's the main thing. That's more important than understanding parousia. That's more important than understanding Father and Son. Yes, it is. Because I can take you to a church of God that preaches Father and Son just like you all believe it. And their denomination, they've got the mark of the beast. Yeah, he can have the mark of the beast and go to hell and have the right doctrine. So much for your doctrine. No matter how religious you are, how good you are, how many churches you belong to or will belong to, it doesn't matter one thing unless you're born again. Therefore, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, did he raise him up for a memorial? Well, that's a... No. Again, I use that word 98%, 99%. I don't know, maybe it's 9%. I think it's higher than that. If most Christians today look to the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a memorial, they take their tours, they go all the way over, and they go to the grave hoping that they can see where Jesus raised from the dead. Listen, if he didn't raise from the dead in here, it don't do you any good to see where he raised from the dead over there. You understand? If Christ is not risen in you, if he's not alive in you, what good does it do? History. To know the history of it. Did he raise him up for a memorial? And is this resurrection morning only one day in the year or a certain day that we celebrate this? Or are we beneficiaries of his resurrection? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Now, we believe by faith that he raised from the dead, but what has it got to do with me? That was 2,000 years ago. Oh, Brother Branham, you're so naughty, Brother Branham. You shouldn't talk that way. Oh, it means everything to us that we have a grave over there that's empty. Uh-huh. And you are a grave that's empty. Unless the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Therefore, we can see that tradition can actually do more harm than good if you are not truly born again. Because many people misconstrue traditions and the church-associated works that they perform as evidence that they are believers. That's why John 14:12, to just read it, can be very dangerous if you're seeking to do things yourself, and it's not God doing it through you.
Right.
He said, ask and I will do it. Alright? Because many people misconstrue traditions and the church-associated works that they perform as evidence that they are believers, when it is no more an evidence of being a believer any more than Satan is a believer. And Satan is a believer. The Bible says so. The Bible says he believes and he trembles. Satan led in the worship of God. He actually did. And Satan believes God and he trembles. He led in the worship. Yeah? Of God. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. That's Bible truth. So Satan is a believer in that sense. And yet, what good does his believing do him because he doesn't have God life in him? He is not born again. He is not capable of being born again. He's just got religious traditions. Now, I think, and as Brother Vale always told me, he said, Brian, he said, I think when a person comes out of the Catholic Church and comes into this message, They make the best message believers because they don't have their minds filled with a bunch of scripture that they've got an understanding that's wrong. He said they look at what they had traditions, and they say, forget it. Forget it. What good did it do me? I was worshiping the devil, didn't even know it. Worshiping a triune Trinity. Worshiping a woman called Mary. Didn't even know it. There's your traditions. Now, Brother Brandt said in his sermon, God's power to transform. He said, one day when the world was again in all kinds of religions, washing hands in pots and wearing different robes and bonnets and so forth, it lay in the midst of another chaos. The genuine Israel of God had been so perverted from the laws and the statutes of God that Jesus said, you with your traditions make the word of God of no effect to the people by your traditions. Now here, these are people that for 2,000 years were following jot by jot and tittle by tittle, and Jesus comes along and says, forget it, you got it all wrong. But I learned it from my dad. He learned it from his dad. It's wrong. You with your traditions make the word of God of no effect to the people by your traditions, Jesus said. And look at them holy priests. They called him. And Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and his works you do. See, that's exactly what he said. Now, can you imagine somebody walking into the Branham Tabernacle? I'll use that for illustration. I'm not saying they are this way, but I'm just saying. Walking into the place where Brother Branham held his services. Many people in that church still were there when Brother Branham was there. And can you imagine Jesus walking into that church and saying, today, saying, I don't care what you've been doing since William Branham was on the scene. What you're doing is wrong. And the reason it's wrong, look, now let me just show you something. It's not the tradition itself that's wrong. It's what they've done to make the traditions above the Word of God. You understand? God gave the people a brazen serpent to look upon when they were sick, to touch, to look upon, and they would be healed. And that same brazen serpent became a tradition. And it became an idol, and God had the same prophet destroy it. There's your traditions. They make the Word of God of none effect. You with your traditions make the Word of God of no effect to the people by your traditions. And look at them holy priests they call them. And she said, you are of your father the devil, and his works you will do. See, that's exactly what he said. And yet no man could tell the Pharisees that they were children of Satan. Jesus did. But they lived every tradition they could make from the Word of God to the best of their ability. They studied where every jot and every tittle of the Word was located. They could pass a pin through the scroll and tell you every Hebrew letter it passed through, going through the scroll. That's how well they knew the Word. The written Word. But there was nothing in here because when the Word was manifested, they didn't recognize it in their midst. They knew the Word of God to such an extent that they could quote it forward, they could quote it backwards. Yet they had no clue that God was in their midst in the vessel of His first and uniquely born Son. Now, I've met preachers in this message who were like walking compendiums. They could quote, 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 quote. And as Brother Bell would often say, they quote themselves right into hell. Why? Because there's nothing in here to go with it. They got it, but they don't got it. The Bible says in John 1 and 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Isn't that a paradox? And Brother Brown said in his sermon, what is the attraction? He said, now in the book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, Zechariah, one of the prophets, spoke in the Spirit, saying, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon the foal, a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, what was the matter with those scribes? They knew every jot and tittle. They knew every prophecy concerning Messiah. What was the matter with those priests? What was the matter with those religious people? This was wrote 487 years before it happened by a vindicated prophet and was already put into writing and called the Bible, the scrolls of the Old Testament. Why couldn't they see that that prophecy was being fulfilled? Or could they see it and said, he's faking it. He's claiming what is not his. Then why couldn't they see the blind eyes being opened, the deaf ears being opened? Because their traditions blinded them. Their tradition said, we've got it, nobody else has it. We've got the right doctrine. Anybody coming along that doesn't come through us is wrong. And the minute you think that, you're dead spiritually, you are dead. Why couldn't they see the prophecy being fulfilled? The same reason they can't see it today. They have took the word of God and made it of none effect to the people by teaching for traditions, for doctrine, the traditions of men. And if scribes, preachers, ministers, spiritual men, so-called, anointed ones, would only read the Bible, they wouldn't be wondering what's taking place. They would know what it is, God fulfilling His Word. And so those men that could push a pin through the book of Isaiah and tell you every single Hebrew letter that passed through. And they could push it through the scroll of Joel and tell you every single one. They knew what this said. But when it took place, they were blinded to it because it wasn't their tradition. Their tradition said, he's going to come to us. He's going to be our king. He's going to emancipate us from the Romans. And he didn't come that way. He didn't come as a political figure. He came as a lamb of God. So you see, the scene is no different today than it was in Jesus' day. And in William Branham's day, and even now, 60 years later, we have the same thing taking place. There are certain promises of God in Scripture that are supposed to take place in this hour, and people miss it by their traditions. They miss being conformed to the image of the firstborn son, and they have no clue what that even means because the tradition of the church camp doesn't preach on it. They missed the promise of God to His elect sons that the sons of God will manifest as sons of God. But because it's not in the tradition of their camp to preach on those things, they're going to miss it. And they are missing it. They have missed altogether that only the right kind of son will be adopted as a son because that is not the main tenet of tradition in their camp. And so they do not teach on the adoption and placing of sons. And I talked to one minister, very fine minister, I love the brother. And I talked to him, this is several years back. And I said, brother, why don't you teach on the adoption? He said, brother, because there's people out there preaching it wrong. I said, well, there's people out there preaching Godhead wrong too. That don't mean you don't teach it right. They're afraid of it. They're afraid. Why are they afraid of it? It's not in the tradition of their camp. And how are you going to become aware of these great end time promises if no one will teach them to you? It's all over the place in Scripture and in the message of William Branham, but the camps are focused on their own creeds and traditions. How that God sent a prophet and the miracles of God did back in those days. And they're always looking backwards and always looking forwards. It's going to be a great thing when the third pole comes and wasn't a great thing when the prophet was here. What is God doing right now? Oh, we don't know, but it's going to be a great thing when that third pole comes. We're looking forward to the tent. Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to the tent. We can look forward and we can look backward and see what God did to that man. Oh, my. But what's God doing right now? Oh, brother, we're just in a holding pattern. We are. We are. You might be. But sons of God are not. Sons of God are being led by the Spirit of God right now. Thus they're not focused. They're not focused on further promises of God in His Word to the elect because they are wrapped up in the tradition of their churches, whether it be mission work or sending out books and tapes or whatever their tradition might be. Now, from his sermon, God in Simplicity, Brother Branham said, many miss him by the way that he reveals himself. A man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is doing, going to do. And as I've made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do, and all that's past, and always looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. That's what he's doing now. See? And from a sermon, reproach for the word, Brother Branham said, men are always the same as ever. Now, I'm going to say something again, and I want you, and I don't know whether it's being taped or not, but if it is on tape, I want you to listen at me. You on the tape, that's all of us. Don't you miss it, but study it. Men now is like he's always been. He's praising God for what he's done in the past, looking forward to what he will do in the future, and ignoring what he has done and is doing. He praises God for what he has done. He looks forward to what he will do, but he ignores what God's a doing. And if you look at the word a with the hyphen after it, or dash, whatever you call that, it actually means ongoing. Ongoing. Present tense. Ongoing and doing. And there he misses the whole thing. He misses the whole thing when? When 50 years ago, when Brother Branham was on the scene? Is that what he missed? No, he got that. He's missing what God is doing right now. God's still on the scene. Brother Branham said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. We're not in the millennium yet. He's still leading. But he's failing to follow. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. What about you? Are you following? He said there he misses the whole thing. He misses what he's doing now. There he misses the whole thing. Hope they get it. See? Ignoring. Oh, that's a good one. Ignoring what he's doing. Like when I took the doctrine of Father and Son to Africa, and the phones were just ringing off. We had like 13 ministers in the bus. We were going across from Rwanda, had service in Rwanda 3 days, then we had service 3 days in Western Uganda, Brother Ben's place. And we went over to Eastern Uganda, had services there, and we went to Kenya. And the whole time, the phones just ringing, and they're just fighting with Brother Ben and some of the brothers. Tell them that they shouldn't be with me. I'm preaching to God and this and that and the other. And brothers, you know, they argue with him. No, he's not preaching to God. So, you know, come in this. Finally, a year or two passes by, and we've got so many quotes, so many scriptures. They say, well, you know what? It's right. It's right. But we don't need to preach it. It causes division, causes fuss. We don't need to preach it. You see, by their tradition. We'll just preach that God sent a prophet. Yeah, we can look back 50 years. We can all agree on that. If we can all agree on that, we'll have a big church. Hey, yeah. All you got to do, just play tapes. Play tapes will fill the church. Have lots of families. Why? Because that's what God did 50 years ago. And they're always looking back. And maybe once in a while we'll talk about the rapture down the road. Huh. We'll fill up the church. We'll fill up the pews. But they're failing to recognize what God is doing. A doing. He said a doing, which means right now. You're looking forward for something to happen. It's already happened. It's already happened right under you and you don't know it. How oft would he have hovered you as a hen does her brood, but you would not. You thought more of your traditions and denominations than you did of his word and his spirit. Yes. You see, that is what Jesus said. He said, you miss him by your traditions. You make the word of God, the promises of God, of none effect by your traditions and your creeds. You focus on the past, what God did 50 years ago, or you focus on the future and you miss what God is doing right now. And that is what William Branham was saying. The Pentecostals were focusing on what God did 50 years before at Azusa Street, which was 50 years before, and they missed what God was doing right then. Well, what about the people that are looking back 50 years ago now? the Pentecostal Branhamites. Seems like every generation things repeat. We go from wide tithes to thin tithes, back to wide tithes to thin tithes about every 40 years or so. You go from cuff pants to no cuff pants. You go from straight leg to flared up pants about every 40 years. Every generation has got to go through it for themselves. It's a pity. But by their traditions, they miss what God is doing now. The Pentecostals were focusing on what God did 50 years before at Azusa Street, and they missed what God was doing in the ministry of William Branham. The people in this message are focusing on what God did in Malachi 4, and they're missing what God is doing right now. Yep. And so has the message people miss it again, because God has promised us a transformation by the renewing of the mind, and they have become so enamored by the past and focused on the past that they do not see what God is doing, present tense. Now, I'm not saying it has to come through this church here, but it has to come through God. Mm-hmm. What is God doing to you? Is He getting you ready for the going home? From door to door, He says, now, my people are Catholic, as you know, being an Irishman. Now, they talk about St. Patrick, the Catholics claim him. Why, he's just about as much Catholic as I am. They talk about Joan of Arc. They burnt the girl to the stake for a witch. We all know that because she was spiritual and seen visions. Of course, a couple hundred years later, they dug them priests' bodies up and done penance. You know, they threw them into the river. But that ain't what it takes. See, they always miss it. Man is forever praising God for what he did do in the past, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. That's just the nature of man, and he hasn't changed his nature, the man of the world. So it's not just a matter of knowing that it's true. It is a matter of it being real to you, in you. For to just know it, that it's true, could still place it in a historical perspective as it does to the nominal Christian. But to know that it's real, it then begins to live out in your very own life. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am dead, dead, dead. Crucifixions is the worst form of death. And yet somehow there's life in me. I'm living, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, the life that's being lived in this flesh, it isn't Paul. He's dead and gone. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's not a matter of just knowing that it's true. It's a matter of it being real to you. For to just know that it is true could still place it in a historical perspective as it does to the nominal Christian. But to know that it's real, it then begins to live out in your very life. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll read this word and you can actually see it manifesting itself all around you and in you. Why? Because you are quickened to life. By the word of God for the hour, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is alive in you and has made you alive to His word. Because after all, God's prophet said, God interprets His word by bringing it to pass. And so, when you read His word and see it taking place, you're actually living out that portion of God's word. He then shows you various promises of his word coming to pass, and you being a part of that living word and the recipient of those promises. A living, dynamic word which is continually moving ahead. In fact, from Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham said, he said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they are dead. They're gone. And so we must continue to move on with the word of God as it continues to come to pass, or we are dead, dead, dead. Mm-hmm. Now in Brother Branham's sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he also said, he repeats this theme over and over again through the entire sermon. Notice, he says, they came up to the borderline, but they didn't go over. Paragraph 195. Going to their home, and when they come up to the place to cross over, they doubted the word. What happened? They perished in the wilderness. They stayed right there and organized themselves again around what? Traditions. And they died, every one of them. paragraph 198, where the carcass is, there the eagle will be gathered. Where the fresh meat is, the word of the season, there the eagle will be gathered. But after it's rotten, then the vultures will swarm to it. See what I mean? When a kill is made, here comes the eagles. But after it lays there and rotten, then here comes the vultures. The eagle won't have nothing to do with it. Jesus said, where the carcass is, where the manna fell, the night the manna falls fresh, there the eagles will gather for it. That's the manna for the day. See? Now, the manna for today is not God's sent a prophet. The manna for today is not Malachi 4. The manna for today is not Revelation 10, 1-7. The manna for today is not Luke 17, 30. The manna for today is we're in the spirit of adoption. We're in the age of adoption. The manna for today is that we are to be manifested as sons of God. The manna for today is there's got to be a capstone ministry of God in His church and His bride. The manna for today is God is that we are being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. We're becoming obedient by the things we suffer. That's the manna for today. No, 2:14. Notice, but after it gets rotten, maggots get in it, then here comes the vultures. They can't smell it till it gets rotten. 2:15. Said, I am sent me. I am. Not I was or will be. I am. Present tense. The word now. Not the word that was or word that will come. The word that's now. Paragraph 2:19. Now you go back and try to live again. Go back after that old shucks dried up. Ever go back and live in it again? It never does. For it is impossible. For those which were once enlightened, and as Brother Bale brought up, for those that were once for all enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they are dead. Is the word coming to pass in your life? In your lives? In fact, Brother Brown said in Just Once More, Lord, said man is always thinking back on what God did and looking forward to what God will do, but ignoring what God is doing. And he also said in his audio letter to Brother Bale, he said, if they only see it in the hour past, there's no hope for the church. Well, hey, 50 years ago seems to me that that's the hour past. Because he was talking about Pentecost 50 years before, being caught up, looking back 50 years in his day. He was talking about them. And now we're looking 50 years back. People are looking at what God did, what God did, what God did, what God did. I'm not so interested in what God did. I want to know, what is He doing? What is He doing for me? It's nice to know what He did for other people. Don't get me wrong. I weep sometimes listening to those tapes because that's present tense. I'm listening to it as it's happening. I'm not going back and saying, what did he do 50 years ago? Let's look it up in the charts. You're actually hearing those tapes and it's a reality right then. You're kind of stepping back. But we can't stay back there. Because there's a body changing. It's got to come. The shout has come. The shout has got to move into the voice of a resurrection.
Right.
Our bodies have got to be resurrection worthy. From Just Once More, man is always thinking back on what God did and looking forward to what God will do, but ignoring what God is doing. He also said in his audio letter, if they only see it in the hour past, there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense, so God sends His prophet to manifest present tense of it. Again, from his sermon, Indictment, he said they didn't know that the indictment of God's Word wasn't standing up there in that day. Now, it was at that day, and that was right. It was at one day, just keep them laws and things, but the same law that was to keep them pointed them to the time that when He would come and be this man He was supposed to be. They had this part, but they didn't take the other part. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Brother Branham is laying out a principle here. He said, the same laws that was to keep them are the same laws that pointed to the one who would be the fulfillment of them. They had this part, but they didn't take the other part. We've got Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1-7. But do we have Romans 8, 11? Do we have Ephesians 1, 5? Do we have Romans 8:19? Do we have Romans 8:29? That's like taking minerals, but no vitamins. Don, you know a little bit about that. Taking minerals, but no vitamins. And the vitamin is what makes the mineral work. It's what makes the mineral break down in your body. Taking calcium without vitamin D or D3, it won't do you any good. So you could load up on that mineral, but if you have nothing to break it down in your body, it won't do you any good, no matter how much you take. So if you have deficiencies in the body, natural, I'm talking about the spiritual now. If you have deficiency in the body caused by an improper dose of a certain mineral, no matter how much you try to undo it with mega doses of that mineral, you need the vitamin that corresponds to that mineral to make it work. Thus, you could load up on Malachi 4, you could load up on Luke 17:30, you could load up in Revelation 10:1-7, and it won't do your body any good, the body of Christ, unless you have Romans 8:11, unless you have vitamin Romans 8:19. And vitamin R829, and vitamin E1.5. All those promises of God to this generation, they've got the mechanics of it, but are without the dynamics. So they got what is past, but they have failed to see and take a hold of what is current. We need Malachi 4, we need Luke 17:30, we need Revelation 10:1-7. To get us ready for the resurrection and rapture to take place, but without Romans 8:11, Romans 8:19, Romans 8:29, Ephesians 1:5, you won't be there yourself to partake of it. Look, you can't get around with only a part of the solution. You've got to have the whole equation to make it work. And the whole equation is not Malachi 4 and Luke 17:30 and Revelation. It's those plus Romans 8. And Ephesians 1. And Galatians chapter 4. You must have the entire, complete Word of God in this hour. Just a part of it will not do. As Brother Brown said, you've got to apply what you do have, or what you do have won't do you any good. And that's the same thing Brother Brown says they're doing now. They got a church and they believe in Jesus Christ. And they say they do. And things, but they deny the hour that we're living in. Still brings the old proverb back again. Man is always praising God for what he has done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing, and being condemned by it. See, they think God's wonderful, how great he is, what he's going to do, he's going to come, and he's going to be a rapture someday, and go home, and deny the very signs and wonders right here at the time that the scripture says that he'll be doing it, and they miss the whole thing. If the blind lead the blind, Jesus said, they'll all fall in the ditch. Just pray God to open your eyes in this last days. All right. From God's provided place of worship for the rest of now, remember, he has a provided place, one place alone, where he'll meet the believing children. Anywhere else won't work. Remember, Jesus said, when he was here on earth talking to a bunch of people who was very religious, very fine, very cultured, a very zealous people of God, but Jesus said to them, in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine their traditions of men. Now remember, those were pious people, and how zealous they were zealous of God. And I believe that if we were counting the people who are more zealous of today or that day, they would be more zealous than we are, far more. When it comes to keeping the traditions and laws and things, they lived by those. And they were very zealous of God and they believed God. But Jesus, God made flesh among us. He said, in vain do you worship him. Now, he didn't say they didn't worship him. They was worshiping him, but in vain. So anything in vain is of no avail. It doesn't do no good. You should never do it because you're just wasting your time. You're just wasting your breath. You're wasting your efforts until we come to know what we're doing. From the presence of God and recognize, he said, it comes and it goes out and people do not recognize it until it passes. And because of that, it never fits their theology. It never fits the time of the day. You see what it is? They're always living in the glare of another age. Always. The reason they didn't accept Jesus because they were living in the glare of the law. And when Jesus came, was not contrary to the law, but come to fulfill the law, well, they couldn't accept him because his message wasn't exactly the way that they had it all created out. And it was called then traditions. And he didn't come according to their traditions. He didn't keep their traditions. And really, he upset it. And he tore it up and done things that was contrary to it, insomuch that they thought that he was breaking up the churches and they couldn't receive him because of his message. And we all know today that he come exactly in the line of God's prophecy, but they didn't know it then. And it could happen again and we wouldn't know it. I imagine that he'd actually appear tonight. It would be so contrary to what they all got figured out in their charts and all the schools and things. It would be a very few who would recognize what was going on. He said it would be, that's how he come. Now look, their biggest thing was keeping the Sabbath day, and Jesus came and he broke the Sabbath law. He did. He healed on the Sabbath. He performed a work. Come on. He did things that were so contrary to their traditions that it was their traditions that blinded them. God in a man, proving it was God in a man by raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, ears of the deaf, proving that it was the God of the Sabbath. And they were so blinded by their tradition that when they saw those things, they didn't put two and two together and say, no man can do these things. That's God doing those things. No, they said, you're not supposed to do those things on Sunday or on the Sabbath. You're breaking our tradition. And by their traditions, they died right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing in the message today.
Yep.
When the unveiling of God is announced, it's repeated again. Their traditions. Then on the day of Pentecost, the word came and was in the form of the Son of God, and they began to organize it at Nicaea, Rome, and the first thing it went to Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, and so forth. It organized traditions. A man don't know where he stands. But glory to God, he promised in the last days that he would do it. He would show his word in plain view, open before us, open it up. If they'd have only known the word, they'd have known who Jesus was. If a man only knew the word of God, he'd know the hour that we're living and what's going on. They just refused to listen to the word. Their traditions. What caused those Jews to see that? What caused? Looked like they'd have actually seen because the thing was all tore up. It was tore open for a purpose. And they missed that purpose because they were blinded by what their camp was allowed to believe. From the paradox, Brother Brown said, now John, dead 6 months in his mother's womb, come to life. Through the name of Jesus Christ, the first time it was ever spoke by human lips, showed that dead man would come to life by the name of Jesus Christ. Still a paradox. Not another name under heaven given among men, whereby you must be saved. A paradox. Yes, John was a phenomena. John was extraordinary. It was a supernatural thing took place there. Looked like he would have went and carried out his father's, went to his school where his father was trained at, be a Levite. Levite was the only one who could be in the priesthood, so John was a Levite. So in ordinary, it was tradition for him to go to school of his father, but God had a work for him. He was to announce the Messiah. His work was too phenomena for him to follow traditions. I hope you're reading right. His work was too phenomena. He couldn't go to their traditions and take up with their traditions. And everybody had been saying, now, don't you think that Brother Jones here is just the man to be the Messiah? We know that you're to announce him. Don't you think that he's just the right kind of a man? See, it would have been another Matthias. You know, he was the guy that they drew sticks for. Cast lots. When God picked them himself through his son, then they said, well, Judas is gone, so we're going to use sticks. Tinker toys. Get out your tinker toys, Don. We'll see which one pulls the longest one. He's the new man that God called. Oh, yeah? Well, the Catholic Church still uses the drawing of the thing. You know, they still put they still do it like the first church did, and the first church was wrong, wrong, wrong. And they're still doing it today. By their traditions. And what do? They put their little thing in there for the person they want. I don't remember how that. I mean, I do remember, but I don't remember what they call it. For a man that can turn on the light, he says, oh, say, oh, we have the word. We have the word. Why the word? Everybody can pack a Bible that wants to. But when the word is vindicated, made manifest, why say, well, we believe. Yes, sir. They believed all the word. Well, so does Satan. Those Pharisees, who could condemn them not believing, but they didn't believe the word for the hour. They were worshiping in the glare of something else. That's the same thing they're doing today. You're keeping up with Luther's tradition or Wesley's tradition and the rest of them, Pentecostal tradition, but what of the hour? The Pharisees was keeping up their traditions, but behind their traditions was the true word of God coming to shine forth. And when it did, it blinded their eyes. They couldn't see it because they was watching something else. So is it today. May God let that soak in till it really hits home to the people that should believe it. It's later than you think. Oh, your tradition is parousia. You know all about how God came down in this hour. Okay, but what's he doing today? Well, we know what God did through his prophet. What's he doing today? Steve, what's he doing in your life? Steve, in yours. What's he doing, Don? Nick? Josh? Derek? Nathan? Justin? John? What's he doing in your life right now? Because the proof is still on. Keeping up with Luther? Keeping up with Wesley? Keeping up with Pentecost? Keeping up with message? And it's all tradition. Okay, so he's excoriating the so-called believers who should understand that God did not just send Malachi 4. He did not just send Luke 17:30. He did not just make himself known in Revelation 10:1-7 to put on a show. Or to get us to look to a man. In fact, he was rebuked by the angel when the angel said, "You're putting on a show." He sent the prophet to bring a message. God came down with a shout. A message for what? Well, the shout is to bring forth the voice, and the voice is to bring forth resurrection. But first we have to die to self, be filled with the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, and it'll quicken our mortal bodies. So what I'm trying to say is Ephesians 1-5, Romans 8:11, Romans 8:19, Romans 8:29 are the result of Malachi 4, of Luke 17:30, of Revelation 10:1-7, that it brought to us. But how many people focus on the message, on the messenger, instead of his message? Which he was only an echo of the shout that God brought. From world falling apart, Brother Branham said, now, what had caused this? I believe there was a cause for that. And I think it is because they had took the word of God and made it of no effect by their traditions. He said, you by your traditions has made the word of God of no effect. That's right. It wasn't effective because it added and projected into their traditions. And when you can't add nothing to that, you can't take nothing from it, it's just the way that it is. That's the way God preserved it. We can't add creeds and dogmas and things to inject in that. Now listen. I'm sorry, but parousia is a creed. It's a dogma. It's a doctrine. Godhead is a creed, a doctrine. And if you teach it as a theology, it's a creed, it's a tradition. If you're teaching it only from the aspect that you want the people to have the same relationship that Jesus had with his Father, it no longer is in that category of tradition. It's in the category of infilling or imparting of life. Yeah. We can't add creeds and dogmas and things to inject in that. That don't need any help. That's him. That's him in letter form. And the word is a seed. And the seed in the right kind of ground will grow. And if you don't dig it up every morning to find out whether it's grown or not, you just plant it, commit it to God, and leave it there. That's the way to let it grow, just to leave it there the way that it's been planted in the ground. And that's where it's supposed to be, the ground of your heart. Faith is watering it hourly, saying, now, God said so, it's mine. That's the way to do it. And as I told Brother Caldwell, and we, please, if you would be praying for Brother Caldwell, he's been battling cancer in the prostate, in the stomach, kind of like Brother Vail went through. But just pray for him, because I believe that he might have caught something the other day. We're talking, Brother Justin had prayer on the phone while we were driving. And I told him, I said, it's all based in your confession. Brother Branham said in the sermon 1954, he said, the new ministry. He said, I'm going to tell you about the new ministry. He said, you know, I've been so dependent on vision. But he said, it's changing. He said, I was called urgently to pray for this little child. His dad was a Mexican. His mother was Swedish. They were living in California. And he said, I went to see the child in the hospital. He said, and I'd never seen anything so pitiful. 3 months old, he said, the little baby, his tongue was just so black and like a, just dried out and black and just hanging out of his mouth. Couldn't hardly breathe. He said he had to breathe through a tracheotomy. They put a tracheotomy in his throat to breathe. They couldn't give him any whatever moisture they gave him. He said it just passed through him. The baby was just left to die. The doctor said, there's nothing we can do. We've had extras. We've all tried everything we can. Nothing we can do. And Brother Brown said, I got there and I saw that baby and I just wept within me. I said, Lord, I said, what would you have your servant to do? I was waiting on a vision, he said. Didn't get a vision. Now he's where you and I are. Didn't get a vision. But the Holy Spirit within him said, what would you do? I'm waiting to see what you will do. He wanted to know, what would your son do? He said, Father, I don't believe it's your will that this baby is in this condition. This is an innocent child. It didn't do anything to deserve this. And so I'm going to lay my hands according to your word. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. These signs will follow them, I believe. I'm going to do what your word tells me to do. I'm just going to do it. And he did it, and God healed the baby. No vision. No word of the Lord except for this Bible. And that's the new ministry. You and I got that. We've all got that. It's called the third pole. It's called imparting life. And it lays within you if you got the Holy Ghost. It lays within you to impart life to your loved ones, to those that have a need. It lays within you. But if they see you and you're not living like Christ, they're not going to want what you got. If they see you living like Christ, they'll want that life. So as bad as we hate to say it, we've got to face facts somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. People is offering these offerings without even having faith in what they're doing. Let's read the whole thing. Traditions in them days. The great prophet cried out and said, your traditions are powerless. They stink before me, have no faith in them. The people is offering these offerings without even having faith in what they're doing. Now, let's just ask ourselves a question. Isn't that something like today? As bad as we hate to say it, we've got to face the fact somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. Why, this church ought to be a million miles up the road to where it is now. Jesus is waiting on his church to get ready. His bride has made herself ready. We got the potentials. The Holy Spirit is here. God is here. The power to heal the sick. The power to do all the things that Christ did. I've seen it demonstrated myself by the Holy Spirit. So the potentials are here. What God's waiting on is for us to get away from our traditions and come back under the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and become the church of the living God. We're a Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, or whatever more. Whosoever will may come and take of the waters of life freely. I believe that with all that's in me. God has sent down the Holy Spirit to do that, but we with our rituals, without sincerity, going is because it's tradition, and because it's a ritual, we go without sincerity, without really sorrowful of sin. Brother Branham longed to see the church, that the people were so filled with the Holy Ghost that if someone came in that had sin in their life, it would be called out right then. By anybody in the church. They'd know it. You know, Brother Brown said, I can talk to a person, and within 3 minutes I can tell you whether he's a Christian or not. And you know what he said right after that? He said, and so can you. And so can you. You know when somebody is a make-believer, just professing to be a believer. You know how you know them? By their fruits. You know them. All right. Only one way provided by God, Brother Brown said. Now, God's got a way of doing things, and we must do it the way that He wants it done. If it isn't, then it's not effective. Jesus found something like it when He came in His day. He said, but you by your traditions has made the Word of God of none effect by your traditions. See, they had hybrid into it. injected into God's commandment their own traditions which made the commandments of no effect. Today I know it's become the same thing. There is not a thing left, my Christian friend, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only hope that the church has. And as far as it comes, if it ever takes up a denomination again, it's finished. Because every denomination finished when it become a denomination. It's the very thing. And how close is this message today to becoming a denomination? Well, greater than Solomon is here. So now Jesus was upbraiding these people tonight because of their unbelief, because they should have been scripturally taught. But the traditions of the day had drawn the people from the Bible, the Scripture. And Jesus said, you with your traditions has made the commandment of God of none effect. And I wonder tonight, if he would stand upon this soil of the United States, if he wouldn't say the same thing to many tonight. With the traditions of men, you took the commandments of God and made them of no effect by preaching that. Just the days of miracles and past and so forth, as they do, having a form of godliness, but the prophet said in the last days, but denying the power thereof. Well, I've seen that. I fought against that spirit. From the third seal, Brother Branham said, now, see, they don't want it. They don't want God's word because she held to her traditions. She kept the word of God from being of none effect. The same now, on spiritual leave, she don't want. She wants to keep her traditions and get away from the word of God. She holds again to the denomination of the creeds and traditions of her elders instead of taking the word of God. And when the promise of the word of the last days is brought to her, she will not receive it because with her traditions, like the Hebrew bride did, the real word, though manifested, proven, vindicated, she won't have it. Why won't she? Because there's her type. She can't do it. That's right. She can't beat her type. See? And it's predicted she would do it. So how are you going to keep from anything? Now, the only thing you can do is be happy that you are in. That's all. Be ready for it. All right? God promised in the last days that he would manifest and would vindicate his word to her, and still she wouldn't do it. All that God promised her by his servants, the prophets, God promised through Jesus Christ, God promised through Joel, God promised through Paul, God promised through Malachi, God promised through John, God promised through John the Revelator, all them prophets, just exactly what the last message would be to her. Now notice, he said, God already has shown us through Joel, Paul, Malachi, and John, and all them prophets, just exactly what the last message would be to her. So what did John, and Joel, and Paul, and John, and Malachi all have in common? That a message of God would come to the people along with that message. It would restore the hearts of the children of the fathers. It would restore the signs and wonders that the early church enjoyed. Joel said that God would restore it. Paul said he would manifest his sons and be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Malachi promised that we would have our hearts restored. And John prophesied that the works that Jesus did would be done in the church. It's all been promised. Just waiting for us, brother, to get out of our traditions. From the third seal, he said, all right, they miss him. The living word manifested in the flesh by the word that is promised. The word promised to do these things, the promise was made, and it'd be like this in the last days as it was in the days of Sodom. So shall be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now watch what happened at Sodom. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. See, watch what happened then. See, now, he said it'd be the same thing, and we live in that day where that it could be. And I guess I could get 600 promises of them like that out of the Scripture just referring to it. See, now, but they rejected it. She held her traditions and substitute blood instead of the real blood. Jesus, the Word, said, when he was manifested to her, because she held to these traditions. Jesus, the manifested word, said to the bride, Hebrew bride, because you hold your traditions, you make the word of God without effect, any effect to you. It can't be effective. All right, in closing, from greater than Solomon is here, Brother Brown said, Now, believe now. Now, Jesus was rebuking that generation for not believing a sign that he had proved to them that he was Messiah. Now, we took that last night and how that he was the Messiah because he was the Word. Is that right? Now, Messiah means the Christ, the Anointed One. And then he was to be the King, the God, Prophet. And here he was, the Spirit in him. Now remember, the ones who really stayed with the Scripture teaching, they recognized him. But those who went off with the other church and their tradition, they missed it. See? And Jesus told those teachers, he said, you with your tradition, you take the commandment of God and make them of none effect. Now, What would they do with their traditions today? Saying the days of miracles is past, that's a tradition. There's no such a thing as divine healing, that's a tradition, not the Bible. I can show any man where Jesus ordained his church and commissioned it to all the world, to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now I want somebody to show me a spot of scripture where he's taken it away from the church. It's not there. It's still in the church. It's the traditions that twisted it out. And that's the reason they didn't recognize Jesus, because their traditions had twisted away and got some. And I can show you where Jesus said, the works that I do shall the true believer do. Now, you show me where he took it out. You show me where he decided that that's only for one man. When the original in every language says, whosoever believeth on me, the works that I do shall they do also. You show me where that's been taken out. That's the traditions of a certain group of people. Not everybody who claims this message. Now, from things that are to be, Brother Brown, and I talked to Brother Bale on that, and he said, Brother Brown, I never understood John because I never studied it. So they're gonna put their eternal salvation on something that Brother Bale never studied. And I can take you back to the 60s and 70s where he preached on these things. And they said, well, that's old manna. Okay, what's your new manna? Money, money, money. Gimme, gimme, gimme. From things that are to be. Ministers that would go to theology, some seminary, and take the things of the man's word, which makes, by their tradition, makes the commandment of God and no effect upon the people, by their tradition saying that they should belong to church. And that's all. Oh God, do they realize that every word that we say is scientifically proven? It's on record, and it starts when we start living in this earth, and it ends when we die, and it's put in God's album to be played back again at the judgment. How are we going to escape it? The damnation of God. If the thing has been made so clear before us, and yet we turn it down, oh dear God, these words never die. They go on and on. The record will be played at the day of judgment. You've seen those hands that went up, Father? It'll be right there at the day of judgment. Also, what their heart was thinking will be right there at the day of judgment. And from pardoning, this is another thing. We find out in Hebrews 9:11 that pardoning produces purity. The worshiper, having no more conscience of sin, and has cleansed himself from dead traditions. When we really come under the blood, we are cleansed from dead traditions. The scripture says so. Hebrews 9, watch. Cleanse your conscience from dead traditions. Then if you do that, forget that you're a Baptist, forget that you're a Methodist, forget that you're a Pentecostal, whatever you are. And I'm going to ask this church to do this, and those listening across the world. Forget that you're a message believer. And focus on that you're a Christian. Forget that you're in the message. And focus on that you're in Christ. Amen? Now notice that forget you are whatever you are. That means forget you're a message believer. Forget you are anything but his elect bride seed. And forget those dead traditions and come to the blood. Come to that. Read your name in that and then do this. Then come to communion table. That's what we're getting ready for. Then come and find out who's right and wrong. Whether it's going to be closed communion or not. See if you can shut your brother out. You can't do it. You just can't do it. There's something in you won't let you do it. There's just something, you see. Your name is read among those, and you can't do it. It purifies you. It cleanses you. That's about it. Gracious Father, we read some wonderful words here. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to be a Christian first. And that way we don't have any denominational barriers. We don't have any barriers that says, well, I can't talk to this person because they don't believe my creed. They're not in the message, so they're none of us. But Father, help us, O God, with the Christ that lays within us, to get ready, O God, to impart life to those that are seeking life. And then we'll know the third pole is on. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The brothers will bring forth the elements at this time.